18. Touching a Dragon's Mind. Inside the cottage, Rand sat beside her loom and rocked the rocking chair so slightly it hardly seemed to move. Old Bor and Reister beside her waiting. Nervousness at weirdness burned into eyes and drawn, pale, fear-filled faces. Ron let thoughts drift outward, fleeing light toward the mountains rising in the west. The only time she let her thoughts drift west was when she'd been distracted or was close to sleep and in between awake and sleep. For years she'd forced her mind to shy away from songs vibrating deep inside her bones. As morning light intensified and spread across her flagstone floor, she saw Craylon, the witch, stare at the villagers as one and then another picked up heavy stones and threw them at her and a tiny child who wailed despair at human cruelty. Craylon had stood her ground, disheveled, rage distorting who she was, and held the girl behind her plain black skirts as she was hit and bloodied on her arm and then her face. Her husband, newly dead, accused of forcing a man who'd loved her all her life to die. She'd stood as silent as the stones that bruised her flesh and spirit, cut her off from people she'd lived with all her life, her witchery inherited from parents who helped to end the wars for Clayton through their dragon talking and settling enough to cause grim words. This, even though her husband's wounds had come from dire wolves chanced upon while hunting goats. He was too strong to die, as Ken had said, their grief as bitter as their lies had been. His wife had caused his death. She was a witch. She had to die. And so they'd use their tongues to stir a storm that led to men with stones hurled with excitement at a woman, child, themselves, their fears, the villagers' ruined heart. Inside her trance, Ron lost where she was. The vision burned into her young child's mind. She'd never be a witch, she'd thought, not her. She'd be a village woman, safe from stone. Old Bror had been the one that stopped the madness. He'd stepped between the witch and grinning men and made them hesitate and told the witch to leave to save her child, to keep the village from doing what would stain its spirit black. And somehow, standing there, he'd backed the men and women spreading lies into retreat, and like Craylon flee to the mountain peaks. She startled in the rocking chair. Chills ran along her arms and made her want to flee away from chaos pounding in her head. The dragon song she'd felt before had throbbed with harmonies that shimmered dancing colors. Fear, rage, regret, intensity, confusion, cold calculation, desperation stopped her rocking, made her rigid as a spire of stone shot up into a storming sky. Old Brewer and Reister felt the storm she faced and blanched, their fears alive inside of them. Their bodies made them want to get up, flee into the wilderness away from what was pummeling Ran. They had to reach their deepest selves to watch her face a storm. An ancient spirit felt Ruan and stared into a human that she'd never thought would brave the huge immensities inside her mind. Ran felt fear rise up as if a stream had overflowed its bank and swept all life before it as it dominated Earth. The dragon seized control of who she was and forced herself to calm and said inside herself, "We do not want another war." And then Ron saw where a long, dark ridge rose out of endless fields of drifted snow, and saw Rother by a fire, his face so hideous with burns from dragon fire. She cried out in the silent room and made the two men get up from their chairs, their hearts contesting wills to keep them in the cottage. The dragon's calm washed through Ruan and let her feel herself again. She looked at Reister, despair at what she had seen so strong and urgent. She dropped the dragon's song and felt a panic that seemed to make her life irrelevant. Her eyes were raw with tears streaked down her cheeks. "Ruoth is burned by dragon fire," she said. The war's begun. He made the war he wanted, and soon its fires will sweep out of the cave. Old Brewer looked at her frightened eyes and forced himself to smile. "You touched a dragon's mind," he said. "You didn't die. We have a way of telling them we do not want more war." Grim, Reister moved and took Ran into his arm. "We'll find him. He won't die out there," he said. Ran's eyes filled with tears. "I love him. Damn," she said. "I love him, even though he's crazy, concocting senselessness, endangering the people that he thinks his deeds protect." Outside, the children started shouting, laughing, as morning started up life's old routine.